Well, so much has changed over these past few months. And if you were to sit down and write a list of what has changed, it could probably take you a while. A lot has changed. Some of it has been difficult. Some of it has been painful. Some of it, if we're honest, has been little more than inconvenience. Some of that change we may actually have welcomed. We may actually have enjoyed. We've had a little bit more time maybe with family and friends. We've had time to get out and take that exercise we'd always talked about doing. We've had time to just concentrate on some other things. Some of the changes we've experienced, well, we've enjoyed it. We've embraced it. It has also shown us some of the changes that we possibly want to make in the future. I know lots of people have said to me things like, Stephen, has made me realize how important family and friends are. And so in the future, I want to give more time to them. It's caused people to actually think about what's important for them. What are the things that they invest their time and their energy into? And in the future, they want to put their time, their energy, their lives into what's really important. But in the midst of all these possible changes, one thing is for sure, you will have changed. You will have changed some way. One way or another, you're not the same person that you were back in February when all this started. You've changed. And when we sit and think about it, that's normal. Change is a normal part of life. If things don't change around us, we start to get worried. We start to be concerned because it's normal. It's part of life to change. We might want everything to stay the same sometimes, but the reality is this. Someone has said, you never dip your toe in the same river twice. You can put your toe into the river, you can take it back out again, and then sometime later put your toe back into the river, but it's a different river. That river has moved along. It looks the same, but it has moved along. It has changed. How have you changed? How will you change? As Paul writes to the church in the city of Philippi, again, he's talking to people who are wondering how they live under the pressures that they're under. People who are being persecuted for their faith, people who face opposition, people who are just in difficulty. How do they live? How do they work out their faith? And this passage in Philippians chapter 2 points us to yet another way to live when we're under pressure, and that is to grow in Christian maturity, to change, to have a desire to change, to grow, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Paul speaks to this church in Philippi and says, if you are to live in a difficult world, you need to become more mature in Jesus Christ. You need to change. But it's not just a call that we sometimes have when we make those resolutions, a call to turning over a new leaf, a call to trying a bit harder. And all those things are good, but they're not enough. What we're called to is to work out in our lives what God is working into your life. To work out in our lives what God is working into our lives. And that's what Christian maturity is all about. God takes the initiative. God takes the power to transform us, to set us free, to save us, to give us salvation in Jesus Christ. But he doesn't do that and then leave us. Paul reminds us that God not only saves us, but he takes the initiative in helping us to grow in Christian maturity. And we can't grow and become more Christ-like any more than we can save ourselves. And yet the Bible calls us to work out our salvation. Now, what it definitely doesn't mean is that we can earn brownie points that get us into God's good book, that means that God will throw open the gates of heaven for us because he sees our, our loyalty card is filled with all those stamps. It's not about earning our way into heaven. It's not about working our way into heaven. We're saved when we receive what Jesus Christ has done for us. When you look at the cross and know what Jesus has done for you and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, you experience God's salvation. That's what God is working into you. And you grow whenever you live out what God is doing in you. It's an expression of your salvation. It's an expression of what God has done and is doing in your life. As we see that growth and development changing us to be more and more like Jesus. Sometimes within the church we give the impression that salvation is something that happened way back then, on that day, at that hour, at that time. And many people struggle with the fact that they can't just pinpoint that hour, that day, that time, and yet they bear the fruit in their lives of Christ in them. It's not just about way back then, what Jesus has done. It's about here and now. It's about what God is still doing in our lives. It's about that ongoing maturity, that ongoing transformation to become more and more like Jesus. And we have our part to play in that. Yes, God is at work in us, but we need to work that out in our lives as we become more and more like Jesus. So what does it look like to work out your salvation? Well, Paul gives us some clues. First of all, he says, live without complaining and arguing. Live without complaining and arguing. Maybe if we put it into the vernacular, it would be live without gurning and griping. They're great words, and they describe so many of us so wonderfully. Live without this complaining, this arguing. It doesn't mean to say that we will never have complaints, that we will never have arguments, but it means that we will never be in the situation where we complain about God, where we argue with God, because we're working out what God is working into us. You remember the story of the rebellious children of Israel. God rescues them from slavery. He brings them up out of Egypt, where they are oppressed and downtrodden, where they are slaves, where they are persecuted. He miraculously brings them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and sets them off towards the promised land. But very quickly, those people forget what God has done, what God is doing in them, and they start to grumble. They start to complain. They start to argue with God because they failed to work out what God was working into their lives. They forgot about all the good things that God had done. They forgot that God was with them and for them. They forgot that God had this perfect will for them as he led them into the promised land. And they didn't work those things out in their lives. And they missed the blessing that God had for them. They grumbled, they complained. The first section of this second chapter of Philippians tells us that what God is working in us is the cross. And when we remember all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ at the cross, when we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, then how do we grumble and complain about what God is doing in us and for us and through us? We've already sung it. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Those children of Israel, as they were released from slavery, they should have been the ones who were singing God's praise. Instead, they grumbled and they complained. We on this side of Calvary's cross should be the one who sing God's praise. And yet, how quickly do we complain and argue? What does working it out mean It means not complaining about what God is doing. It means not arguing with God's good and perfect and pleasing will. We're also called to shine like stars in the universe. During the week, you may have tried to spot the comet. I know Heather and I tried several times to look at the comet, but it was either too cloudy or there's just too much light around and you don't see anything, and it's difficult to see. But to see that bright spot in the sky, one of our favorite memories going back was when we lived in Kenya, camping in the Masai Mara, that massive game park, camping out there literally under the stars. There's no light pollution, and you can see every pinprick of a star in the sky above you. It is amazing. Tiny little lights, but because it's so dark, they shine out brightly. And Paul says, not only do you live by not complaining and arguing against God, but you live by shining as stars in a generation which he describes as being crooked and depraved, just dark. How do you work out what God's working into you? You live as a star that shines in the darkness. You're different because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Christians are to work out and to live out what God has worked in them and to shine. We should be different. We should be making a difference because of what God is doing in us. We should be shining. How do we work out what God is doing in us? Well, we work it out by not arguing, complaining, by shining as stars in the midst of darkness around us. People talk of hopelessness these days. We, above all others, should be those who shine because we have a hope in Jesus Christ that cannot be shaken. We need to live as those who shine as stars against a dark background. We need to live as those who hold out the word of life. The children of Israel could have made such an impression as they moved from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Every time they met someone, they could have told them the story of what God had done. We were slaves, we were put down, we were persecuted, but God rescued us and God is taking us to the promised land. Can you imagine the impact that would have had on those who heard that story? On those who looked at these people who were shining like stars against this dark background? But they didn't do it. They didn't speak of what God was doing by either lip or by life. And things were very different. Paul speaks to this church in Philippi and says to them, hold out the word of life. Explain to people what's going on. Tell people about the grace and favor that God has shown you in Jesus Christ. And the same is true for us, to hold out this word of life. Are you different? Or are you different because of what God has done in your life? What God is doing in you? And as people begin to ask, why do you have this hope? We hold out that word of life. We speak of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, we read these words. In your hearts, set Christ apart as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. Focus on Jesus. That's how you hold out the word of life. And then listen to these words. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So as we shine like stars, let's be ready to point others towards this Jesus who gives us hope. towards this Jesus who has shown us amazing grace, towards this Jesus whose love will never fail. How do we work out our salvation? Well, we do it in these three ways as well as others. We don't grumble and complain and argue with God. We shine as stars where God has placed us. And even though it may seem dark for you, the dark place is where that little light shines brightest. We hold out the word of life, showing by lip and by life what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So you have changed, and you will change. May God give us the grace that we change not just randomly, but to grow in our likeness of Jesus Christ, to become mature in Him. And then we begin to have an impact on the world around us, where God has placed us at this time, in these difficult situations, becoming more like Jesus. That's what spiritual growth is about. That's what Christian maturity is, becoming more like Jesus. May God work in us by His Holy Spirit so that not only have we been saved, but we are being saved and we will be saved. And we live for the praise of His glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks that You desire not only to know us, but to grow us. Thank You for Your love, which never lets us go. Thank You that you accept us as we are, and You change us to be more and more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, take from us anything which would be a stumbling block to that growing, that maturing. And may the lives that we live be pleasing to You and give You honor and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.